Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The College Football Experience Week 3 Preview and Picks episode on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. We're also brought to you by PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one app for free sports betting picks, props, and parlays. Download the free PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. We're also brought to you by OddsCrowd. Are you the best football bettor in the U.S.? OddsCrowd challenges you to prove it with their free-to-play fantasy betting contest. Every week, there's a free $350 NFL contest and a free $250 contest. Just head to oddscrowd.com to sign up. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app. Your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Grab that SGPN app for free in the App Store or Google Play Store today.
Hey, what's up, you degenerate gamblers? This is Bill Burr, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, baby.
Welcome to the College Football Experience Week 3 Preview and Picks episode. My name is Colby Swinging Dan to Base Dan, aka Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick.
Nobody knows nothing.
Somebody knows. Double the price, but no one touches Dundee.
No one touches Dundee. And I'm back from Las Vegas, starting to get energy again after just a week of death. Give it up for former JMU Duke defensive back, the burrito eating, sideline kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing, Patty C in the place to be.
Hi-oh!
Hello, you play to win the game.
Yeah, but
oh yeah. And third man in the booth, the DFS god himself. Give it up for the rooftop IPA drinking, homebrew making, Tobacco Road living, the free lock giving, former Herndon Basketball League MVP. Give it up for NC Nick in the place to be.
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Oh, life is good, brother.
Here you go. Here you go. I'll give you some. What should I give you right now?
Let's crank me up, man. I need some energy.
This is a little epic energy for you.
I know, Mike. Epic energy. He wants got to get you excited.
Now he's going to crank off. Just listen to this hero music.
I'm ready to pick some winners. Let's do this.
Yeah, man. You said you need some energy. What's going on over there? You had a tough week this past week or what?
Busy day at work, East Coast. You guys are late as usual.
Crame Dog and Green were in the studio. We couldn't pull it off earlier.
Hey, I didn't know that. I mean, I didn't know the boss is okay. It's no problem. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now here we are, guys. I'm fresh back from Vegas. You know, Clay Helton is jobless, and I do believe I predicted this back in July. I said if they lose, I think I said by week three or four, they're gonna pull the plug on Clay Helton. I gotta go back, find that clip, because I'm feeling like a fucking genius. All right.
I am impressed if that is true, because that was very early as far as I was concerned.
Well, they dressed up that San Jose State game.
Yeah.
To the blind eye, if you didn't watch that game, you think, oh, they just destroyed San Jose State. That was a 17-7 game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And they make it look 31-7 or something. You're like, oh, they fucked them up. No, that was a game before Starkle threw that pick six.
Which, you know, against San Jose State last year, if they're the same team they were last year, then even 17-7 is not that bad. But
when you're USC, you're supposed to, and you're in the Coliseum.
Yeah, it's true.
I think we mentioned the possibility that they could have lost to San Jose State, and if that happened, he would have got the axe. So I mean, we were, you know, in the ballpark, right?
Yeah.
It was a week later. They were like a 17-point favorite or something, or 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
So we knew that it was very possible if USC dropped a game that they should have won. And hey, you're at home and you're favored by 17. I'd say you should win that.
100%. 100%, and now he is gone. And Patty C took the over as one of his locks. I wonder if he's a bit worried about that USC win total over.
Should be.
Some of my other ones are looking good, but that one, not so much.
I'm a bit nervous on the Notre Dame over. I can tell you that.
Yeah, they might lose their next three games.
Yeah, I mean that. Yeah, definitely you should be. And some injuries, like how about BC's quarterback going down?
Ooh, yeah,
that's a dagger.
But have they announced how long? Because I was looking for that, and I thought it said that it was a negative.
Yeah, I guess it's not going to be for the season, but I think he's still out for, you know, a good stretch. You know, multiple games, probably four or five games. He's probably coming back maybe November or something. You know, so he's going to be out a while. Then Minnesota's running back, their best player goes down. That could hurt the overall Golden Gophers.
That's a really dangerous one.
Kansas State, their quarterback. Skylar Thompson.
Yeah. I mean that you feel horrible just because that's that guy's second time having that that injury. That was a non-contact injury, and they go from a team that's probably like a contender in the Big 12 to make, you know, possibly making the Big 12 championship to, I don't know, that quarterback.
Yeah, tier three.
Yeah,
in the Big 12.
Yeah. I mean, they're 2-0 right now, but they had to eke that thing out with him against Southern Illinois with the backup in.
I mean, we'll get to that game, you know, coming up, the K-State game, but I believe they lost like the last four or five games of the year last season with the backup Will Howard in. So maybe he's improved. I think he was a freshman last year, potentially. I'm not positive. He was young, so maybe one more year under his belt, he won't be quite as bad as last year. But that offense really came to a screeching halt without Thompson in there. So that over is not looking at, I mean, especially they start off with the win over Stanford. They're looking good. I'm feeling good over 5.5. No problem. Maybe not so much anymore.
Yeah. All right. So what else do we got before we dive into this week's slate? Last week, we all did decently. Patty C had a great week. Terrell Furman, he was on fire again, finished top 10. Me and NC Nick did not finish top 10, but I had a winning record.
Boom.
Nick, what'd you do?
Yeah, man, I was winning above 500, and I think I might have had the best lock record out of all of us. I think I was 6-3 on locks.
There we go.
If I'm not mistaken.
Nice.
So all in all, you know, picking every game, I want to get that percentage back up, you know, north of 60%, but it was a decent week.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a killer week, hitting 2/3 of your locks. Don't be modest. Throw the dick in the air, Nick.
Well, you know, I said locks, I'm cool with that, but I wanted to get that overall percentage a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Man, we got high standards over here. All right.
That's true.
I think week three is the best week so far this season, as far as matchups go. All right.
not during the week, but in general, like the actual slate of games.
Really?
I do.
The best games?
Better than one and two, week one and two, in my opinion.
I think week one might be better personally. Yeah.
Well, you were entertained by that Miami Alabama game?
Yeah, I bet Bama.
Dude, I think this week is way better. I'm going to get to it. Thursday night, the Ohio Bobcats coming down to Lafayette, where Ohio, by the way, 0-2, just lost to FCS Duquesne. Frank Solich, his absence has been felt.
Yeah.
Understatement. They're about to get smacked. This line is currently at 20. Shop around. I do see a 19.5 out there.
Louisiana, a bit of a disappointment, and that 20-point loss to Texas looking worse after Texas took a 20-point loss to
Louisiana.
Arkansas
barely beat an FCS last week too.
Yeah,
by Nichols. Three. Yeah. I'm gonna ride Louisiana though. I think Ohio's a mess right now. They're doing the two quarterback system, I believe. Right, they're going back and forth between Rourke and Rogers, the UNLV transfer. I'm gonna ride Louisiana to get things right at home in Lafayette on Thursday. Nick?
I disagree. I like it. Right off the bat, we're disagreeing. Perhaps if you watch some NFL, you just saw Elijah Mitchell, rookie running back for the 49ers, run for over 100 yards in his first game ever. Well, the Raging Cajuns miss him because right now their rushing attack is 119th in the nation.
Oof.
Look, Ohio's offense is bad. They're 104th best. Louisiana's isn't very good either. They're 78th best, and that rushing attack is doing absolutely nothing. When both teams have bad offenses, I will gladly take 20 points. Ohio is a mess, you're right, but I don't know. I'm hoping they can keep it within, 14, 17 or so.
Well, you know what makes the Ohio like perception a little off is that, they lost to Duquesne, but Duquesne kind of gave TCU a little bit of trouble at the start of that game.
Should have been in the FCS playoffs. They got upset. They got upset in the NEC championship, if memory serves me correct.
Yeah, and then Syracuse also looked pretty decent against Rutgers, at least. So, I don't think Ohio is maybe as bad as we think they are, which is really, really bad. But I don't think they're good. That said, 20 points Louisiana should cover, even though they're definitely not as good as we thought they were going to be.
Riding with the Cajuns.
A little bit of a letdown.
Hop on board over here.
Compared to what we thought this game was going to be in the preseason. But you know what? I am riding with the Cajuns.
There we go. Another, obviously we have the Giants Redskins Thursday night game. And then there is Alabama A&M Bethune-Cookman. We don't have a line yet, but just know that you will have other gambling options. Football is out there. An FCS matchup with the Keel Glass, a really good quarterback at Alabama A&M. Friday. Now this game I think is a good game. This is what I'm saying. Like these matchups here, like a UCF travels to what formerly was known as Papa John's Stadium.
Yeah,
and racist stadium.
You have renamed the Shack. Right?
Yeah, I'm calling it the Shack now.
And why was that Shaq is the new spokesman?
Shaq's the new spokesman of Papa John, so it should be the Shaq. Live at the Shaq.
Yeah.
All right?
It's got a ring to it.
I mean, it sounds cool, but I don't know if you want your stadium to be. I mean, a Shaq is kind of, has a bad connotation to it. Like it's it's falling apart. It's ran down. I don't know
really?
If that's really what they're going after.
You got that, B-52 song, Love Shaq, right?
It's the Louisville Shaq. It's almost love. It's Love Shaq.
Yeah, there we go.
All right.
UCF's laying a touchdown. And I was making this point to Patty C on Sunday. I don't know if I can't tell if Ole Miss is for real because of how bad Louisville was playing. Like Louisville was not impressive to me against Eastern Kentucky. Yes, they won 30-3. All right. But this was like in the first half, this was a game. Like this is Eastern Kentucky. You should blow this team out. I get it. You still won by 27, but it was a little closer than needed to be, in my opinion. Majority of that game, I have not been impressed by Louisville. So I don't know what that means for Ole Miss, but I can tell you this: UCF at Louisville. I did get it at 7.5, and I rode Louisville just hoping that Satterfield has fixed this and UCF's hitting the road for the first time under Malzahn. I don't feel great about my 7.5. The line is at 7 now. Nick, what are you doing?
Well, I don't feel great about it either, but you know, I wasn't buying into Louisville in the off season when you were hyping them up. I'm definitely not buying into them now. If you're asking me who do I have more confidence in at this point in the season, it's Central Florida. You know, if you throw out that first quarter against Boise, you know, they've played seven really good quarters of football. And I think they can go in to Louisville, to the Shack, and get a dub by about 10 points or so. I think that Northwestern transfer, Isaiah Bauer, is really He's complementing the passing attack. He's already ran for over 230 yards in two games and five touchdowns. And I was on Ole Miss when they played Louisville, and I'm going to continue fading Louisville and go UCF.
I'm riding UCF, but this would be another bad look for the ACC, which, guys, I know ACC Nick over here. I mean, I should just have you do a segment on like the floor is yours on ACC football right now.
I mean, the floor is exactly where ACC football is right now. It's been a rough start to the season, and I'm not sure if things are going to improve, because, you know, like we mentioned, there's already been a couple injuries with key players on teams in the conference, and Louisville for one. I mean, I guess some people had, you know, hopes that they could be above 500 and go bowling. I don't know, man. I don't know if it's going to happen for them. And they're just one of these ACC teams that is, you know, stuck in mediocrity, basically.
Yeah. Patty C, what are you doing with 7 points? You know, there's a home dog catching 7 at the Shack.
I'm a lot more confident that Central Florida gets this done than you guys are. They did take it to Bethune-Cookman, like we know. Granted, they're not a great squad, but they have won 7 games in each of the last 3 full seasons they played. So they're a winning team at the FCS level. And then Boise, like we said, pretty good. And if it wasn't for that first quarter that Nick was talking about, then yeah, maybe this is actually a really good team. And that's what they have been in the past. Louisville looking suspect. I even think they dressed that score up a little bit against Ole Miss. And then, like you said, really didn't do much against Eastern Kentucky. So 7 points seems like a shoe-in to me.
Oh, sounds like lock material.
Sounds like a lock.
It's close.
Do I need to cue you the music?
Peer pressure me into locking this. I was thinking about it. Should I do it?
What are you, a pussy?
There it is. All you got to do is tell me I'm a pussy, and the lock is in.
All right, Patty C, this is your lock music. All right, what should I give you? What should I? How about this?
What are you, Chicken McFly?
Yeah, I need that one. This is a. I don't know. What should we do as a lock music? Let's do Patty C's lock music as a nice. Where the fuck?
Come on, DJ, hit us.
Spin it,
DJ. Yeah, okay, I like it. I can deal with that. Let me tell you what. The greatest peer pressure, though. Don't be a bitch. Ooh, anyone says
that's
that.
A good one. It's a good one.
You got a drink right there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Friday night, we got, like I said, UCF at Louisville. The second game, are we on the verge of Mike Locksley being 3-0? Maryland travels to Champaign, where Patty sees a lion eye. That offense is just as dog shit as I thought it would be. However, Mike Locksley making me just eat a steady sandwich of shit. What do we got here? They're laying 7. The road dog or road favorite again. Maryland favored by 7. I am seeing a 7.5 out there too. Actually, yeah, I'm seeing 7.5 at most places. So we'll pick it at 7.5 here. I'm gonna ride Maryland because I don't know. I don't think Illinois has enough offense. I know it sounds crazy. Like Terrell Furman was giving me shit saying, "Dude, you're taking Mike Locksley more than a touchdown favorite on the road."
He's got a good point, man. We got to get old Locksley out of our head. It's a new day.
Well, I think the real story here isn't Maryland. I think the real story is Illinois' offense.
Yeah.
So
Peter should be back, if that even matters, which I'm not sure if it does. I think he's better than Satowski, but probably not by that much.
Yeah, I agree. Give me Maryland. I'm going to take Maryland. I don't feel great about this.
Let me ask you this.
Bet the half point. Get it down. Get it down to 7.
Little hook scares me. Yeah, exactly. Was that score a little deceptive in the Virginia game? Virginia got off. I don't know if it was.
It was deceptive, as Virginia would have scored more. Did you not watch the game?
I watched some of it.
They missed
it took
field
them a
goals.
While to pull away, though.
But Virginia kept missing field goals.
That's true. They did miss a couple. Yeah, it did take a while. I mean, that's still that game was still very much like competitive into the third quarter. So I think that Illinois, and I do think Virginia and Maryland, Virginia's probably better than Maryland, but I don't know. Maryland's just looked pretty good so far.
Probably better. No, they're better than Maryland.
No.
You kidding me?
We keep doubting Maryland. Virginia as a state is definitely better than Maryland, but as a football program, I don't know.
No, I'll take Bronco Mendenhall against Mike Locksley 1,000 out of 1,000 times.
True.
Look, they doubled up them on yardage. Are you kidding me? Come on. This Virginia pretty much doubled them up on yard. Yeah. I mean, this was a pretty safe. I mean, they had almost 600 yards of offense against Illinois.
Okay. Nick, what did you say it was? What was your pick on this one?
Yeah, I'm going to go Maryland too, but proceed with caution when betting on Locksley, and maybe, I was cautious about both games because you don't like to take two road favorites by a touchdown, in primetime games. And that's what I'm doing. I'm taking Central Florida and Maryland. So I don't feel great about that, but it's hard to bet on the Illini right now. We're not sure who Maryland is. Yeah, in a couple of weeks we might be saying, Locksley tricked us again. They suck.
They did this a couple of years ago when they started out like 3-0 and they demolished every team they played, and then they lost every other game by 50.
And that included shutout blowout of Howard as well.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, that's a distinct possibility. But they also have a much higher ceiling than the Fighting Illini. And we kind of know who Illinois is, and they're just not a very good football team right now. So with that said, I'm not going to bet this personally, but my lean would be to take the Terps -7.5.
I mean, they beat a 2-1 Nebraska team who gave it to Buffalo. Buffalo gave it to who week one? Wagner. So, I mean, but I don't know. It's all confusing right now. There's too much data that
and
conflicts
once again,
itself.
Nebraska outgained Illinois. Like that was an outlier. That result was an outlier. That was Nebraska hurting itself more than it was Nebraska losing to Illinois.
Okay.
Anyway, all right. I want to tell folks out there that the College Football Experience is brought to you by WinBet. Yes, ready to win money and boost your odds? Well, WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing you the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports from the NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, college basketball, and more. They got just absolutely great promos. Odds and payouts are happening right now at WinBet, from boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport. We have what you need to win. So if you're ready to play, sign up today to receive a special offer. Get this, a risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download, bet, win. Download the WinBet app now or visit winbet.com. That's WynNBet.com to start winning today. We dive into Saturday here. And like I said, this is why I think it's the best lineup that we've had thus far in the college football season. And a lot of it has to do with rivalries. Virginia Tech travels 2-0 against the spread, travels to Morgantown, West Virginia, where the Mountaineers are laying 3. It was 2.5 earlier in the week. It's at 3 now. Guys,
why is this going that direction?
I am all over WVU.
Are you really?
I am. I think haven't had fans in a year, over a year. You're going to get this thing done. I think they're going to grab the win. I know in the last 10 matchups, Virginia Tech, I believe 7-3 against West Virginia. However, they haven't played with the exception of that Will Greer game in 17, I believe, at that stupid game in FedEx. They haven't played in a long time prior to that. So I'm on West Virginia. I think Neil Brown makes a statement here. Virginia Tech struggled in the first half against Middle Tennessee. It was a 14-7 game at halftime. I haven't seen a complete game from that offense. Their tight end, James Mitchell, who was on the NFL radar, is out for the year.
Good point.
I am going to take West Virginia, and I feel pretty darn good about this one. This one very well could be a lock, and here we go.
Why would you need this when Country Roads is available.
This is why.
I see that.
This is why. This is why, right here.
Pittsburgh Panthers, a bunch of wimps. They ain't got no guts.
Nice. Colby digging them up.
Did you have to end it early? I was just getting into that.
I actually did have to because he calls
want to pay for the royalties.
No, he calls Penn State a derogatory
sexual reference.
Yeah.
I had to cue that thing. It's just hilarious, but
all right. Well, guys, I love West Virginia in this spot. I feel pretty darn good about this. It's not a lock yet, but by Saturday it might just be a lock.
Wow.
Nick, where are you going here?
I'm with you on this one, especially if you can get it under a field goal, which I know it opened at, but it's probably too late for that. You know, I think with Virginia Tech, I mean, the only thing that's been consistent with the Hokies under Fuente is their inconsistency. So it only makes sense after that big UNC win that they dropped this one. And, you know, yeah, I mean, WVU, they lost to Maryland by 6, but in that game, they lost the turnover battle 4-0.
Doji, the quarterback, because it's not Doge, it's like Doge. He threw a pick in the end zone, and Letty Brown, I believe, fumbled inside the 25.
Yeah, crucial turnovers. That could have been a whole different game. They could have, you know, been on the right side of that. Especially at home, I think most people will be on the side of the Hokies after that big, you know, opening week win. So I like to fade them here and go Mountaineers.
Patty C, are you back in your Hokies?
I am back in the Hokies.
Wow.
North Carolina, who Tech obviously upset. Granted, the environment helped. Played pretty well last week against Georgia State. Put 59 on them. Middle Tennessee the week before had put 50 on Monmouth. Virginia Tech holds them to 10 and 14 respectively. That defense is very solid. West Virginia loses to a terrible Maryland team. Traditionally, granted, they're getting better.
you just said Maryland was good.
Well, when did I say they were good?
When we were previewing the Illinois game, you said, yeah,
I said they're getting better, but, and then what they beat up on Long Island. What is that? Is that the data point that we're looking at that suggests Virginia's got together?
I think the turnovers against Maryland, I'll say their home record. They were undefeated at home last year, I believe.
That's a good point. That's a fair point. Morgantown, you know, is going to get up for Virginia Tech. I'm very excited to watch this game.
Yes.
But
the 9 a.m. slate.
The Hokies just seem like a little bit better, but yeah. 9 a.m. slate.
Are you going to be here by 9 a.m. on Saturday? Because this slate at 9 a.m., the next game, Nebraska at Oklahoma, guys. This is a rivalry that goes back a long, long way. This is why I'm saying it's better. You get Virginia Tech, West Virginia. You get Nebraska, Oklahoma. These are games that should be happening every year.
That Nebraska, Oklahoma game is probably going to have the final score similar to that Bama Miami game. So I don't know how you're so excited to see, you know, the Cornhuskers versus Sooners.
Well, Tulane lost by 5 in Norman. I think, you know, Nebraska fixed some things. It looked pretty good against Buffalo. This is a 22-point spread. I'm all over Nebraska plus 22.
I don't know where to go with this. I don't know which Nebraska is going to show up.
Watch out for the emergence of Samari Torre, the wide receiver from Montana. He had like 11 catches in a game. Last week, I think he had 2 for like 1 something, but he had 11 catches the game prior. This guy's making an impact.
Mostly because the other guy's out. The other starting receiver, he's banged up. He's not playing. I forget his name, but they were impressive against Buffalo. That score was 14-3 going into the fourth quarter at home against Buffalo.
They were covering. Wasn't that an 11-point spread?
They pulled away. Okay. But I don't know how impressive it was. I'm with you though. I think the spread's a little too high. I don't think the Cornhuskers are going to sniff at winning this game. I think perhaps that game against Tulane was a wake up call for Oklahoma, but I'm envisioning a score of something like 42-21.
You weren't at all concerned. Look, and I'm an Alex Grinch guy. You weren't concerned about that Oklahoma defense after the Tulane game because Western Carolina, they laid, I locked up Oklahoma to beat Western Carolina laying 49 last week. Cause Western Carolina won win FCS team last year. That means nothing to me. That game means absolutely nothing to me.
Right.
And I go right back to the Tulane game and I say, this defense did not look what it like, whatever yes. everyone was hyping this off season.
Yes, definitely calls for concern, but can Nebraska take advantage of that? Can their bad offense take advantage of that?
Yeah, it's a good point, but I'm going to take 22 points all day.
I wasn't so sure. I went back and forth on this, but I settled on the same side as you and I'll take the points.
Disagree with both of you.
Oh,
Boomer Sooner, baby.
There we go.
Look, there it is. Look, Nebraska is just inconsistent. Spencer Rattler completing 77% of his passes right now.
Western Carolina.
It's probably a little bit misleading of a stat, but Tulane looking pretty good. So maybe that we maybe we're kind of giving Oklahoma too
is
much.
Is Tulane
shit
better
that.
Than Nebraska? Is the question?
I think so.
It could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
No. Probably.
That
but
said,
that's still, I mean, it was only a five point game and they had the ball to win the game.
I don't
in the
know
fourth.
That Nebraska or Tulane is that much better than Nebraska to make a 17.5 point difference. But I just think Oklahoma is going to get off on Nebraska. I don't think scoring is going to be a problem. Maybe Oklahoma gives up 14, 21 points, but I bet Oklahoma gets into the high 40s against Nebraska.
So, okay. I like this. A lot of disagreeing early, but look, that's why this time slate is great. Cause look, I'm thinking big TV. We go West Virginia, Virginia Tech. We got Nebraska, Oklahoma on the other one. But then we have, check out this one. Out of nowhere, midnight Mel Tucker doing things. Michigan State at Miami.
Is that another 9 a.m. game?
Yeah. I don't know how Miami's ranked, but they are. I'm confused. They needed a field goal that barely went in to beat App State. They're laying 6.5. I don't know what side to do here. I'm taking Michigan State in the points because I think they're the more physical football team. Nick.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, we're not sure exactly who Michigan State is. We have a good idea who Miami is. Miami is the same school they've been the last 4 or 5 years. They're a slightly above average ACC school.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
I think that's pretty accurate.
I think with Michigan State, it was nice to see that they had a cupcake game, you know, after, so they opened up nice, convincing win against Northwestern. The running game was really cranking. Then they had that cupcake game where their starters really didn't play most of the second half. Meanwhile, Miami's been in a gauntlet here. This is the third game in a row, tough games. I mean, Bama, App State, they had to grind out that win. And now they have the third game in a row. And I think that's the difference. I think maybe Miami's tired. I think maybe in the second half, the Sparty gets that running game going behind Kenneth Walker Jr. or no, Kenneth Walker the third. Excuse me.
Yeah.
So I think Michigan State has a good chance to cover and potentially win this. I'm definitely not sold on Miami.
Patty C, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I mean, I think 6 is just a little too much for a ground control kind of game that I expect to see. I don't know that Miami is explosive.
Six and a half.
Yeah. Then definitely Michigan State is the play here. Not lock worthy, but I like it.
Yeah. But that's another 9 a.m. game. Guess what the other 9 a.m. game is? It's Cincinnati at Indiana. Guys, Cincinnati's laying 4. This was a really hard game for me to pick. I was on the show with Sean and Ryan on Sports Gambling Podcast. Originally at 2.5, I was like, I'm taking Cincinnati. But when it jumps to 3, I'm like, or 3.5. I think we picked it at 3.5 over there. I'm like, I guess I'll take Indiana. They're at home. I don't have a good feel about this game, but I can't wait to watch it because Cincinnati, they're now in the Big 12, you know, pending. But it's a done deal. This is a big opportunity, big game for Luke Fickell. I mean, obviously the USC job open. Mike Baum, the guy who hired him at Cincinnati, now the athletic director of USC. A lot of ties there. What do you make of this game, Nick?
I'm all over the Bearcats. I'm a Bearcat believer. This is a top 10 school in the nation. Last year, when they went undefeated in the regular season, lost that close bowl game to Georgia, that was no fluke. They are going to prove it. The boys from the American Conference, the American Athletic, they are going to be licking their chops for a piece at a Big Ten school on their own home turf. Yeah, I mean, Indiana's going to be packed, but it's a noon kickoff. That kind of, I mean, that's not as bad as if it in like prime time or something. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm all over the Bearcats here. Anything, I mean, yeah, if you can get it around 3 or 4, sure. I'd say up to 7. Lock it up for me. It's my first lock of the week. I like Cincinnati.
Wow. Lock it up. Let's give him his music. All right. Well, look, isn't that a great 9 a.m. slate? Virginia Tech, West Virginia, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Michigan State, Miami, Cincinnati, Indiana. Those are all fire games. Staying in the 9 a.m. slate, though, BC, without Phil Jerkovic, plays at Temple. Temple took care of business against Akron after the bad loss to Rutgers. Are they getting it back on track? They're catching 15.5 points. I didn't know what to do here because we just saw BC only beat UMass by what, 14. I know Jerkovic got injured on like the fifth throw of that UMass game, so maybe that's not right. But look, Temple can't throw the ball. I think the real problem with Boston College is their pass defense. I'm going to take Boston College. I don't like it, but I'm laying 15.5 in BC. Nick,
I'm with you. I agree. Yeah, I mean, I don't know this game. This game's tricky because sometimes Boston College will play down to the level of their opponent, especially without the starting quarterback. But I mean, it's still, they're still just all around a way better team than Temple here. Temple struggled big time week one against who they play.
Rutgers.
Rutgers smoked them. So I'm going to go Boston College.
Patty C?
15.5 seems like nothing. Of course, I mean, you got to figure maybe with a week to prepare and get a new quarterback ready for Boston College, they're going to make up the difference. They did struggle a little bit, which was surprising, but Temple beating up on Akron, that's what we expect. Tom Arthur.
Yeah.
Sorry, he's in the running for worst quarterback or worst coach or having the worst team, at least in the country. So, Boston College, easy.
All right, another 9 a.m. game. Oh, these are 9 a.m. going chronologically here. Coastal Carolina, Buffalo. Interesting matchup. Chanticleer is going all the way up to upstate New York. This line is currently at 14. It opened up at 11. So money coming in on Coastal. I'm going to take the Bulls in 14. Nick brought up the point. It was a 14-3 game against Nebraska. I think Buffalo's better than perhaps what I was giving them credit for after Leopold left. I'm going to take the 14 and the Bulls. Very interested to watch this game. Actually, it's going to be on one of the other TVs. I got to throw this thing on. Nick, what are you doing here? You're the Coastal fan.
Well, the line's creeping up. You know, it opened at 11.5. I bet it early. I'm locking it up under 14. I'll still take Coastal if it's 14 now.
Yeah,
give me a lock for under.
That's his lock, you know, music.
We saw my Chanticleers look a little sluggish against Kansas last week.
What a lucky cover.
But they flipped the switch and scored three touchdowns in a row second half. That's the potential of this offense. That's, you know, some of the big playmakers they have. And I think they go into Buffalo and I think they win pretty easily.
Wow. Patty C?
I'm with you. I think we're right at the point where you're starting to scare me. The line, I caught it at 13.5 and I'm still going Coastal. But that said, Buffalo, 7-1 last year, including a win against Marshall. We just assuming that they fell off. This was the Mac, a pretty big Mac versus Sunbelt matchup. Some pride on the line between these two conferences. I do think Coastal is better. Two touchdowns starting to push it, but I still think they get it because Coastal has firepower.
Nice.
And yeah, so they might have, you know, Buffalo was playing Nebraska close through most of the game, but you just said Nebraska covered. If we're doing that, you know, law of transitive properties, well, Coastal Carolina is better than Nebraska. That's for certain.
I don't know, buddy.
Oh, come on.
Last year's Coastal, maybe. This is a brand new year, buddy.
Colby is drinking his own Kool-Aid.
Brand new
there.
Year, buddy. Let's hop down to another 9 a.m. kick on the West, noon for the East. This is a dangerous game for the ACC. Western Michigan traveling to Pitt. Pitt, I locked them up -2 against Tennessee, and I felt like I eked that fucking thing out. 15 points. Caleb Ellaby, the quarterback of Western Michigan, he's dynamic, as George Bush said. What are you doing here, guys? I'm going to take Western Michigan in 15.
I'm going to have to agree with you. I think Pitt is just too big of a question mark. I mean, granted, they hammered UMass, but Western Michigan is in a different league than UMass. I don't know. This Pitt could cover this too, though.
They could cover.
I don't have a great feel for this.
This is a slippery game. Pitt always plays down. We talk Boston College playing down. Well, Pitt's that team.
Very similar.
Yeah. Look,
this is regional.
They should have beat Tennessee way better than 7 points.
You think?
Yes. They get a block punt. Like they just
didn't capitalize.
They're a classic Pitt to me.
Yeah.
I'm taking the 15 in Western Michigan. I'm not locking it up or anything, but give me the Broncos. Nick, what are you doing?
I leaned Pitt, but I hear you. It was a tricky line because just like I said against Boston College, Pitt can play down to the level of their opponents and they can sleepwalk through this game here. You know, it's not going to be a lively environment or anything. So Western Michigan is solid. They got steamrolled by Michigan, but I don't know if Pitt is, I don't know if Pitt's rushing attack is as physical as Michigan's. But at the end of the day, I laid the 15. I went Pitt because they are a much better team.
Patty C went Western Michigan, right? So we're good there. Okay, so Nick, we have a lot of disagreements this week. I like it. Staying with the MAC, Northern Illinois traveling to Ann Arbor, Michigan. The spread is 27 right now. Michigan obviously laying 27 points against Northern Illinois. Rocky Lombardi, didn't he beat Michigan last year?
Oh, for Michigan State?
Yeah, I believe
now
so.
Now
as a quarterback probably of not Northern intimidated. Illinois
yeah.
coming into Ann Arbor, which he did last year, catching 27. This was a hard line for me. This was a really hard line for me. I went Michigan, but I don't like it. I don't like it. This is actually one of the ones I hate most on the whole slate, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I mean, Northern Illinois, gosh. The 1 point win over Georgia Tech on the road is a nice look for them.
Yeah.
But does that mean you're going to keep it close against Michigan? You don't need to keep it that close.
7 point loss to Wyoming. Wyoming's decent.
Decent. Yeah. I mean, that's my reasoning. And Michigan is still running the shit out of the ball. They have like 150 yards a game for two backs, you know?
Yeah.
So I want to say both of those dudes have a combined total of over 600 yards through two games. So Michigan is running the F out of the ball again. That means the clock is going to run. That means they're not going to blow them out by as much, I wouldn't think.
Nick?
So Michigan beat Western Michigan 47-14 week one. I see a similar score here. I also lead Michigan. Hopefully I'm not going, you know, too chalky with all these favorites here, but it's hard to get behind a MAC school playing Michigan. You know, I don't trust Northern Illinois. So I went Michigan, not going to bet it myself, but that was my lean.
Yeah. I did hear Northern Illinois has a bit of a soft defense, a soft run defense in particular. So if Michigan's just going to run through,
I
them
feel
like
Northern Illinois always shows up though against these. And these, you know, they've won at Georgia Tech, they've won at Maryland, they've won at Nebraska, they've won. You know, forgetting some more, but
that's
I'm saying
true.
they kind of show up in these big games.
They've played good football so far. So,
staying on the 9 o'clock slate, final two games on the 9 o'clock slate is UConn at Army laying 34. And even this line sucks because it's a triple. Army have like these 14 play drives that take up 12 minutes of game action, makes you actually sweat this a little bit. No, I mean, I know I took Army minus 34. Do I like it? No, not at all. Because Army's Army, they're good. I think their Munkin's got them really good again, but they eat the clock, man. And it's tough to lay 34 points with the triple option team.
It looks like the line's moving toward UConn. Cause I got it at 33.
Nick, what are you doing here?
I went UConn actually. So give me a dog finally. And that'll be the Huskies from UConn. I don't know, man, maybe losing Randy Edsall is kind of an addition by subtraction. Maybe the players,
They scored zero against Purdue last week.
No, and then that might happen again. But I think you hit the nail on the head. I think a lot of times Army doesn't, you know, blow out some of these opponents. So it's going to be, I mean, it's going to be close. Yeah. You're going to be sweating this out, but in this one, I took the points.
Patty, see, what are you doing?
No. Army is going to blast UConn. UConn's two FCS games right now, a 45-0 loss at Fresno, a 49-0 loss at home against Purdue. They even lost their lone FCS game by 10. Army, meanwhile, beats Georgia State by 33. And last week really kind of was giving it to Western Kentucky and then let Western Kentucky back in the game late. I think Army destroys UConn.
Well, I don't get.
That's what happens when you watch UConn's offense. Final 9 a.m. game, New Mexico. Rocky Long's bunch, 2-0, travels to College Station, where Texas A&M somehow is in the top 10. I hate college football. They're not a top 10 team. Can we, I mean, they struggle against Kent State. They struggle against Colorado. Why is A&M number 7? This is what preseason rankings do to the sport. They're laying 29.5 though. I got it at 27.5 earlier in the week and I took A&M. I got no idea. I hate, dude, these lines have been tough so far. Give me A&M, I guess.
Where did I go with this one? This one
29.5 now.
Oh man.
It's creeping up there. I took New Mexico just because it doesn't look like that A&M offense is good enough to just, you know, put up 50 or something. So as long as New Mexico can, you know, maybe score 10 or 14, I think they have a chance to cover.
Well, let me say this. That quarterback Calzada, is that it?
Yeah.
For you know, not great stats, 18 for 39 so far on the season, so 46% completion percentage. Room for improvement, but I will say this. They had two drives with him that were the best two drives of the game. One obviously for the touchdown and the other one where they got down to the goal line. So, I don't know that there's a huge drop off with Haynes King. I do get what you're saying in terms of that neither time with either quarterback is that offense explosive.
Kent State's defense wasn't very good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. I mean, they are able to run the ball though. So I think they can lean on that. New Mexico 2-0 though, 30 points. I don't know. I don't know. I took A&M.
I took A&M too. I feel like these are some of the hardest games. I think between Northern Illinois, Michigan, UConn, Army, New Mexico, Texas A&M, those are some of the hardest handicaps on this whole slate.
Yeah. No matter who I pick, I feel like I'm going to lose that game.
Yeah, exactly. All right, folks. I want to tell you, what's that?
I was going to say, whenever you're dealing with that big of margins, you know, it's like some of those college basketball margins where it's like laying, you know, 32 points or something. You're like, come on. I mean, you know, cause the team could be cruising and then they bring in their third stringers. The other team comes back doors it. But anyway, go ahead, man.
Yeah. I want to tell you guys out there that the college football experience is brought to you by PropSwap. Yes. America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Go check out the new PropSwap.com, which is packed with fresh features like filtering tickets based on value to find the best odds available. Browse the activity feed to stay in the know, a loyalty rewards program that turns sales into extra cash and much, much more. Use the promo code SGPN on your first deposit and PropSwap will match it up to $500. I mean, come on. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. With PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win it in order to make money. It just has to improve. When making your bets, always remember to go for two, you know, get two tickets on the same team or player so you can sell one for profit and then you keep one for yourself. Give yourself some skin in the game. Thousands of buyers across the country are shopping for your tickets on PropSwap every single day. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. So I concluded the 9 a.m. slate. That was only the 9 a.m. slate.
That's heat,
right? Well, check this out. In the middle of the 9 a.m. slate, like an hour into the fucking thing, we get Minnesota row the boat. Traveling to Boulder, Colorado, where the A&M game should have happened, and they probably would have lost because of that. And I don't know how Colorado's a favorite here. Colorado -3, guys, in Boulder. I know it was an impressive performance last week, but will you guys be? Will you guys be a guy on a Buffalo? I tell you this, man. I love Colorado. They're my team. One of my teams, I'm taking Minnesota +3 all day. Colorado struggles to throw the ball down the field. I don't have faith in a one-dimensional offense like that. And unfortunately, with the quarterback situation, the way it is right now in Boulder, and I like Brandon Lewis. I think in time it will be solid. But right now there's a learning curve. And give me row the boat +3 in Boulder.
Maybe. I mean, A&M has a pretty salty defense traditionally, so that could be a big part of the explanation as to why Colorado couldn't move the ball or put up points. Meanwhile,
does Northern Colorado also?
Well,
they put up 35, but yes, Brandon Lewis, they completely didn't trust.
They
him
should have
the
put
air.
Up more than 35 on Northern Colorado. That's true. I don't know. I don't think they have a good offense. Having watched them a little bit, yeah, you're right. Brandon Lewis, not much of an accuracy.
He's playing like a freshman.
Not a marksman by any stretch.
And when I say freshman, not one of these Spencer Rattler freshmen, just a guy who's been all right. But I mean, he's a freshman. That's what it is. And you're telling me Tanner Morgan and Row the Boat, who I think are getting probably misvalued a little bit because they played Miami, Ohio close, where Colorado played A&M close. So I think they're misvalued. Give me, unfortunately, give me the Gophers in Boulder.
Ibrahim ain't walking through that door, buddy. He's all crutched up on the sideline. And that was Miami or Minnesota's entire offense against Ohio State. And they weren't able to move the ball at all after he left. And they barely beat Miami of Ohio by 5 last week. No, give me Colorado. Give me the Buffs. Give me Carl Durrell. I'm a guy on a Buffalo.
Nick, what are you doing here?
I agree with Colby. I went Minnesota here. But I think it's similar to these other lines where it was kind of hard to choose a side here just because both teams, I mean, you mentioned Colorado's lack of a passing game. Well, Minnesota's kind of the same way, especially with Auden Bell hurt, unless he there's a chance he's back, their top receiver. That could help. In general, I'm a little bit higher on the Golden Gophers, though. Granted, they have to travel, you know, I guess halfway across the country, or at least through a handful of states into a pretty good home environment. But I went Minnesota.
Yeah, I will say that Colorado's defense I was impressed by. Both games. Getting that new DC and coming from Gary Barnett, that was Gary Barnett's recommendation. I thought that was a very nice performance so far 2 weeks in.
Yeah, I mean,
Buffs defense.
A&M had to fight for points. Yeah.
That's okay. So like at the end of the 9 a.m. games or whatever, wherever your location is watching, you know, whatever the time would be, the noon games on the East, like I said, Colorado, Minnesota tip at like one or kick at one. Then at halftime, we get Nevada at K-State. That's a sneaky game. And unfortunately for Kansas State, we talked about this, I think a little bit earlier, Skylar Thompson out for the year. So now Nevada's a favorite in Manhattan. And look, I like Carson Strong. I like Nevada. I'm still going to take K-State because of Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah.
They're going to find a way to get it done. I think this is a great game, though. I expect this to be a 30-27 game, something like that. I guess I'm going K-State. Don't love it. What are you guys doing here, Nick?
Nevada. That offense with Will Howard last year was just pitiful. They just couldn't do anything. Nevada already showed they can go on the road, and they went into Berkeley and beat Cal. I think they do it again.
Wow. Patty C?
This is tough. And your point is probably the most important, Colby, as far as I'm concerned. It's Manhattan, Kansas, you know, and I do think all the numbers point to Nevada. And so it makes sense that they're favored by two, but Manhattan's too tough to play in. I trust Manhattan. So give me Kansas State.
There we go. So then
seems like you guys are agreeing on that side of the table, and I'm on my own here on the East Coast.
I've been disagreeing with this idiot across the table with me all day.
Pat took Colorado, didn't he?
True. Good point.
Nick feels isolated out on the East Coast. There, we're with you. I'm with you in spirit.
Yeah, ACC Nick's having a tough year. Right?
It is. All right. It's been a rough start to the season. Okay.
Once again, same time slot in a way, like going on Purdue Notre Dame kicks. Then in that somewhere in the third quarter of the morning games, I'll tell you this: when this line opened at 11, I jumped all over Purdue.
Yeah.
It's down to 7.5 or 7. Shop around. Notre Dame should have lost last week. Notre Dame, there's red flags everywhere on Notre Dame. I mean, when you consider Florida State lost to Jacksonville State, they needed overtime to get that done. And then Toledo has the lead in that game with a minute left. I'm on Purdue in the points here. And I think Jeff Brohm and Purdue might be off to a 3-0 start when we are going to look like fools with Purdue. Guys, I think you sprinkle some on the money line.
I agree. I agree completely. I'm getting it at 8.
Yeah.
But that's borderline lock worthy for me. Purdue has looked great through two games. Granted, I mean, beating Oregon State is very good, but not amazing. But it's great for Purdue. And then obviously shellacking UConn. And meanwhile, like you said, Notre Dame squeaking by two pretty bad teams. So yeah. I don't know about Toledo. What is Toledo?
No, I think they're going to be a good MAC school.
They're decent, but they're MAC. You know. Marcus Freeman's defense is a question mark.
Are you concerned that all the money's coming in on Purdue?
No. I mean, Notre Dame has explosive players. Their offense moved. It's evident, but I like that Buckner kid getting some reps. He was able to move the ball with his legs. So maybe there's an extra element there, but still Purdue just looks better right now.
Nick, what are you doing here?
What I'm concerned about is Purdue's track record for the last 20 years.
Hey, when I did the Notre Dame podcast with Dan O'Carter, who's a comedian I know that went to Notre Dame, he said Purdue always plays them tough, though. It's the little brother factor.
Yeah, yeah. In-state rivalry. I am with you. I'm going Purdue. I'm not locking it up or anything, especially now that it's down to only a touchdown. But this would be huge, huge for the Boilermakers. How does Trump say it? Huge,
huge.
But if Purdue can win this, they start off 3-0, and then they have two straight home games against Illinois and Minnesota. Very winnable.
Yeah, you know, talking 5-0 then. They could end up 5-0. I mean, they can sneak this one out somehow.
Maybe Colby was onto something with those Boilermakers, but it's too many points right now. It's hard to trust Notre Dame. Still ranked number 12 somehow. I'm not sure why, but I'm on Purdue.
That's the preseason rankings, man. Yeah,
you're not sure why, and yet we've seen this every year for the last 30 years with Notre Dame. None of us are sure why.
And you hung in with the best college football team in the land.
No, they're not the best. Okay. Now we get to that noon slate over here on the West and that 3:30 slate. And I'm going to open this up, guys. Eastern Michigan last week had to face Wisconsin. My number one lock of the day, Wisconsin cashed it. Eastern Michigan only had 92 yards of offense against Wisconsin, but that was, I saw that one coming a mile away. Their style does not match up with Wisconsin. They are the Wisconsin of the Mac. Well, guess what? Now they travel to UMass. UMass just covered minus 17. Now this line has jumped some. I'm seeing it now at 20. Eastern Michigan minus 20 now in Amherst, guys.
I'm seeing minus 22.
So yeah, well, money's coming all in. I don't know if I'd go past 21, but I can tell you this: at 20, this is a Dundee special. Chris Creighton gets back on track. I'm locking up Eastern Michigan. I actually have it at like 17 at my ticket from earlier in the week. And I wouldn't go past 21 though, because Eastern Michigan's not that type of team to really run it up on you. I think they're three touchdowns better than UMass, but I also think after that they will call off the dogs and their style of play of running. And I just don't see them like winning 55-7. You know what I mean? Like
Chris Creighton won. Like we looked at this before, like 75 straight games were within a touchdown one way or the other, win or loss for him,
but they didn't play UMass.
That's true. But UMass, okay, had a decent little game against,
well, BC's starting quarterback did go out in the third play of the game.
Eastern Michigan's only win came against St. Francis, who went and lost by 17 to Delaware the next week. So,
that's not a bad loss.
Yeah, it's not a terrible loss for St. Francis, but still, it's not a
Delaware's
super,
good. Yeah,
it's not. I mean, basically, Eastern Michigan's about as good as Delaware if the scores hold up. And is Delaware 20 points better than Eastern or than UMass? Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's about right.
I like I said, I advise my clients, if this is over 21 for you, I'd say stay away. Like I said, I bet it at 17 earlier in the week. I locked this thing up. Me and Sean and Ryan did that pod. It was at 17 on Monday. I feel great at it when it's at 17. I feel good at 18, 19, 20. After at 21 is where it starts to get a little. I still bet it at 21, but I don't go an inch higher than 21. Nick, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I mean, UMass is still on auto fade. I'm on Eastern Michigan, but I think you summed it up pretty well. I mean, Eastern Michigan is not going to win by 40. So, you know, I'm not going to bet it currently where the line is at, but if you ask me to pick a side, there's no way I'm going UMass. So yeah, go Eastern Michigan.
Disagree. Yeah. I'm seeing 21.5 right now. Give me the Minutemen.
Oh, there you go. You've always been a Minuteman, Patty C. Huh?
Damn right. I'm proud of it. It's a race.
just efficient.
That's right. I don't want to waste her time.
All right. Well, speaking of
yours,
that's right.
Yes. Well, anyway, I mean, look, this Eastern Michigan offense is going to dominate them. Chris Creighton, baby, doing things. All right. Look, I want to tell you the college football experience is brought to you by Keeps. Yes, Keeps offers a simple, a stress-free way to keep your hair. Convenient virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months. You don't have to leave your home. You got to love that. Low cost treatment start at like $10 per month and keeps offers, you know, generic versions. I mean, they offer whatever you want. If you want, there's several options you can do here, but the basic is at $10 a month. They have discreet packaging and proven results. Keeps has more five-star reviews than any of its competitors. Prevention is key. Treatments can take, you know, 4 to 6 months to see results. So please act fast. I also want to tell you the College Football Experience is brought to you by PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one app for sports betting picks, helmed by a team of trend watching data. Trend watching data devouring sports fanatics, giving you the who, how, and why behind every prediction for every game, every day, and every sport. Loaded with best bets, props, parlays. You can find in-depth analysis on every game, all for free. Found your pick? Well, search the latest sportsbook promotions to sign up for an account, compare the odds, and finally place your bet. Download the PicksWise app now just to make your next bet better. I mean, that's that obvious. PicksWise backs responsible gambling. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. God damn. I was having a hard time talking right there, guys. It's Vegas.
Struggle.
Vegas. All right, so that noon 30 slate out here on the West, 3:30 for you over there, NC Nick. We had Eastern Michigan UMass to kick that thing off, and I know you're excited for that one.
Big time.
But then Kent State, the Golden Flashes, at Iowa, Iowa City. Interesting game because Iowa could have a letdown spot after a huge win. We were right on that. We were all over that against Iowa State. And how many Kirk Ferentz needs an award, because I feel like Iowa scores more defensive touchdowns than every team in the nation
right now. Yes.
No, but I feel like this is like his whole career
in general.
They always get a defensive touchdown. I feel like every game that I watch that they win, which, you know, they go like 8-4 every year.
Yeah.
There's like multiple defensive touchdowns or a block punt for a touchdown. That's why. And look, the Iowa State game, like, I like Matt Campbell. I think he's doing a great job, but the problem is he normally, I think, out schemes Iowa, or no, I'm sorry, not Iowa, other teams. Yeah. Well, there's no out scheming Kirk Ferentz.
Yeah.
Like, his guys
can't dial anything play up on him.
turnover free football. And they're going to force you into making a few mistakes and have great special teams.
Yeah. Just have way better fundamentals.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost amazing. Like, I feel like Iowa is one of my favorite teams to watch in all of college football because of what Kirk Ferentz does year in, year out.
Well, if you
want, it was asinine that they were getting more than a field goal against Iowa State.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
Like, Breece Hall doesn't fumble that ball inside his own five where Iowa took it right back for a touchdown. It might've been a different game, but that was everything. That fumble was everything.
Yeah.
That put the game out of reach because you knew Iowa State, as much as you could say Brock Purdy, Breece Hall, whatever, Xavier Hutchinson, you're not going to be able to put that. You're not going to be able to score that many points that fast on Iowa's defense. Yeah. It's not possible.
I'll be honest. Yeah. I turned the channel, and when I turned back, the game was over. I was like, damn it.
Yeah.
So,
Kent State's catching 23, guys. I'm going to ride Kent State to hang around just enough with Dustin Crum. That's a Conan the Barbarian reference, if you didn't know that.
We got to get the sound bite.
Need to get that sound bite for that. But Dustin Crum, the quarterback of Kent State, this guy's good. I mean, look, they played Texas A&M tough, especially in the first half. I could see a letdown spot for Iowa. You've won two huge games to start the season. Shout out to Kirk Ferentz. And we were on Iowa, Patty C. We said, look at last year. They lost the first two games of Spencer Petras's first two games, yeah, where he made turnovers. And ever since then, he started fixing the turnover problem. And really, that's what it is people can make fun of it all they want and say, well,
he still threw it for 106 yards.
It doesn't matter, though.
Yeah.
If you don't turn the ball over at Iowa and you can run like they do,
that's all they're asking for.
Yeah. And play great special teams. Their punter always good. They have
manage
great,
the game.
Yeah. And that's what they do. They don't make mistakes. And they force you to make mistakes. So,
dude, Iowa was my high school. I mean, they're probably most high schools in America. They basically just play amazing high school football.
I'm taking Kent State, though, until 23 points. I think Iowa wins, I don't know, 35-17 or something. Give me Kent State to get it done. Nick, what are you doing?
I agree. I think Kent State can score a touchdown or two, maybe 10 points. And I think that will probably be enough to cover because Iowa's, you know, similar to other schools that we mentioned. And once again, we have another big spread, a MAC school going up against a Power Five. But yeah, I'm gonna take the points with Kent State, and they eke out a cover here.
Patty C, what are you doing?
I'm going the other way, man.
Hawkeyes.
I'm going Hawkeyes. I think you're talking about them shutting down a pretty good offense in Iowa State. Obviously, the week before, who they completely shut down?
Indiana.
So they only gave up six there. So I think Kent State's going to struggle to score. I think Iowa State's going to get, you know,
Iowa
will get into the 30s, and I think they'll get enough.
So I'm curious. You know, at noon 30, we get this Bama Florida game, which we'll get to in a minute here. But look at that noon 30 lineup for me out here in the West. Bama, Florida. You got Kent State, Iowa. No, but you got this one. The next game on the slate, USC at Washington State, guys. USC -8.5 right now. I'm going to ride, you know, obviously we know Helton's gone. Interim head coach in. I don't know what Washington State is, but I think they should have beat Portland State by more, and that Utah State loss. From what I understand, like I don't know. I love Wazoo. I love Rolovich is our guy. I love Nick Rolovich, but yeah, I think there's problems right now between things with politics and stuff going on there. I'm taking USC and I'm locking this one up. I'm taking you guys to the land down under.
You think he's having some trouble up with the admin up there?
I think so. And they had signs.
The COVID shit.
Yeah. So,
come on, man.
I'm going to take USC -8.5. I'm going to lock that thing up on the road.
That's ballsy. That's ballsy to lock up a school on the road in a tough environment who just fired their coach.
It is, but I'm doing it. You heard it here first. All right.
I'm taking the points, man. I think I'm glad that Jaden Delore is now the starter. I don't know why they had Guantanamo Bay in there to start the season. That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think it's too many points, man. Talking about, I mean, last time USC went into Washington State, granted Mike Leach was there, they lost. That's a tough place to play. So give me Wazoo and the points all day.
Patty?
I was leaning USC at first just because I thought they were that much more talented. But the more I think about it, a lot of factors leaning in Wazoo's favor. I think Washington State gets covers.
Boom. There you go. I hope I wouldn't be mad if I'm wrong there.
Sprinkle some on the money line.
Yeah.
There we go. Sprinkle some on the money line.
There we go. All right. Well, that's at noon 30. Also at noon 30, Tulsa, the Golden Hurricane travel to Columbus, Ohio.
This will be a destruction.
Here comes another. I am locking up Ohio State -24.5. They're going to roll Tulsa. Tulsa Davis Brin, he's not a very good quarterback. I think he's going to struggle even with Ohio State's defensive woes. They're going to get back on track and they get it done against the Golden Hurricane. It's a lock. Those are both my locks back to back. Anyone else want to lock this up with me?
Double lock that.
Oh, Nick,
you could talk me into it. I'm definitely on the Buckeyes. Let me see where it's at here on Tally site. Hang on. Make sure it's not going up here.
It's up to 25.
25.
That's 24.5 here. I'm seeing, but I mean, what's the other half a point?
You know what I'm gonna lock up is the over 60.
Yeah. So you're not taking, we're not triple locking this though with Ohio State.
I want to hear the music. Triple lock it.
Give us that sweet music.
I'm with you.
There we go. Our first triple lock of the week.
Look,
Ohio State Buckeyes.
Oregon may be really good, and Ohio State hung with them and was coming back late. They fell down early by what, two touchdowns?
And Tulsa lost to UC Davis. They stayed in that
terrible.
They stayed in that OK State game, but OK State not very good.
OK State terrible.
Yeah.
And that was my lock from last week. Was Tulsa covering that? And they did. But sorry, Tulsa. Not today.
Yeah. And Ohio State's in a revenge spot. Yeah. You know, Ryan Day got in their ass all week.
Yeah. Well, look, I touched on the 9 a.m. slate, but like I said, noon 30, we're gonna get the Bama Florida, which is a noon 30 game. I USC Washington State, I think, is compelling too. That's at that time slot, and then this one suddenly compelling, Florida State at Wake Forest. Wake Forest laying 5.5. Guys, if Norvell loses this, I mean, do you think they're going to give him another year if they have like a 3-9 season?
Depends on who's out on the market, I think.
What is this? He's going to his third year?
Second year.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Come on. And one of those years was COVID. I think he gets one more year, right?
He probably should.
It's going to be, this is like must watch TV for me now. This game went from like being shitty to, hey, now I'm really, I really can't wait to root for Wake Forest.
It's true. Let's be real about Florida State. I didn't get to watch a lot of the Jacksonville State game, but apparently Florida State was up like 14 with like only like 2 minutes left or something like that.
No. This was a game that was, I think, 7-7 at half, if memory serves me correct.
I think Florida State was up, and then they were going in for a touchdown to go up by 14, maybe, and it got called back, or there was some kind of, maybe they turned it over at the 5 yard line.
But this was, I watched this in the sports book. This was a one score game majority of the game.
Okay. Yeah. So I didn't watch it, so I didn't hear all I saw.
It was like 14-7 for the most of the second half, I feel like. I mean, yeah. Granted, I was completely housed, but right. I'm saying like, it was like seven. I sent you guys the photo at halftime. I think
Florida
like,
State's not good. Jacksonville State is a good FCS. Notre Dame's probably not good, but Florida State isn't far away from being 2-0. Let's be honest. But pretty close.
Jacksonville State lost to UAB 31-0 the week before.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Ugh. And then UAB went and got destroyed by Georgia. Oh gosh. Okay. Maybe Florida State is terrible. I think the play. Go ahead, Nick.
So what side are you on here? You're getting what was it? Is it 5.5 right now?
I'm taking Florida State because they seem to always play Wake well.
That they are 4-1 in the last five, with their only loss being a 2-point loss in Winston-Salem in 2019.
I think Wake Forest is the better team, though. I think Wake Forest is going to win this game at 5.5 or 6. I took Florida State. I see this as like a 33-31 game or something like that. But I lean like you're telling me Sam Hartman and Dave Clawson or you know quarterback by committee and Norvell who I'm not sold on. I'm taking Clawson. I think they're going to get the win, but give me Florida State in the points. I think it's a close game.
Yeah, you might be right. Five might be pushing it for Wake. Florida State's been able to keep both their games pretty close so far. So, Wake outright. Florida State on the cover.
Nick.
I'm going Wake also. No, I'm sorry. I'm going Florida State also. I didn't watch the game last week. Me and Alan Cooley were getting hammered at day drinking in Myrtle Beach.
shout out to one Alan Cooley. Hell of a good guy.
So, I think they said Mackenzie Milton's going to get the start, and there's no or in the depth chart. So it sounds like he's going to play this whole game, which I think is good. And yeah, I mean, usually Florida State, as bad as they've been the last 5 years, they're bigger and more athletic than Wake Forest. And that has, you know, paid dividends for them in this game. So I think they can at least cover this, if not win outright.
There we go. All right, folks. Listen to part two. This is the conclusion of part one. We'll have the rest of the picks for week three on part two. This concludes it. Well, this is the College Football Experience part one, signing off.